Welcome everybody to this, our second Isle Palm City Council meeting for 2020. Today is Tuesday, February 25th at 6 p.m. I'd like to acknowledge both the press and the public were duly notified of this meeting in accordance with the Freedom of Information Act. There's nothing better than have a bunch of residents engaged by being here. But remember, if you can't make it to council, you can always go online to our YouTube channel and watch it live from home if you're sick, but we'd rather you be here. I always like to put those little infomercials in the beginning. If you would, please join me or not as I say a prayer to be followed by our Pledge of Allegiance and then our roll call. Dear wise and loving Father, I thank you for this life we have on this island paradise we call home. We have a lot of major challenges facing us this council and this coming year, and I ask for your guidance in making the right decisions, for as these decisions affect not only us right now, but for future generations. Help us all see the greater good for the island, and help us all seeing each other's opinions that may be contrary to our own, yet better for the island. O Heavenly Father, I ask that you look over those who may be sick and comfort their families. O Father, I ask always to look over and protect the men and women of our military and our public safety services, for it is they who go out and serve and protect us 24/7, 365, no matter the conditions. These heroes sacrifice not only their lives, but sacrifice the time they are not with their families, so please look over their families in their absence and return them safely. Look over and protect our city family, our city residents, our visitors, and please, O Heavenly Father, help guide us in what we do and help us be better for you, our families, our neighbors, and our fellow humankind, for we are all one. It is in your most blessed name I pray, amen.
Amen.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. City Clerk, Nicole Dineen, roll call, please.
Mr. Popson.
Here.
Mr. Streetman.
Here.
Mr. Moy.
Here.
Mr. Ward.
Here.
Mr. Buchanan.
Here.
Mr. Bell.
Here.
Ms. Smith.
Here.
Mr. Pounds.
Here.
Mayor Carroll.
Sorry.
I'm still here.
I was premature. Here.
You have a quorum.
Thank you. Reading of the journals of the previous meetings, regular meeting January 28, 2020. Do I hear a motion?
Mr. Mayor, I move that we approve the meeting, regular meeting minutes of January 28, 2020.
Second.
Any corrections? Hearing none? All those in favor say aye.
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 Unanimous. Citizens' comments. I hope everybody signed up for comments.
Thank you.
Well, at least 30 minutes worth. Thank you. Susan
Sabini.
Thank you, Sabini.
It's okay. Mayor, I think.
Oh. Always help me, please.
It's all right. Is this okay?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Name and address.
So I'm Susan Sabini. I'm 2020 2nd Avenue, Isle Palms. And I just wanted to speak on behalf of the pool. I'm actually the president of the swim team, the Wild Dude Swim Team board, the parent board. And I've been with them for about 8 years or so as a parent and as the president of the board. And I just want to give you a little bit of background of it, and I'll try to talk really fast. So I know I only have 3 minutes. The swim team started back in the 80s, and just to give you an idea, we've grown so much. We have about 150 swimmers that swim on our team. And it probably is about 80 to 85 families that we have on the team. And we actually have to limit it to a number because right now we practice at Wild Dunes. And they are so gracious to let us practice there, but we really could have more involvement in the community if, obviously I'm pro pool, if we could have a pool, swimming pool. And I just wanted to kind of share with y'all the troubles that we're having and then how I feel like, you know, a pool really could benefit us. Wild Dunes has kind of limited us to what we can and can't do. We're actually having to reach out to another neighboring community, Oyster Point, to partner with them. Otherwise, we will not be able to continue on as a swim team because we have to be able to host meets. And Lock Dunes has just gotten so big, and they have a lot of competing priorities, which is understandable with being a resort. So they cannot host us. And in order for us to be able to swim in the East Cooper Swimming League, we have to be able to host meets. So with that being said, we've kind of partnered with Oyster Point, but we would really like somewhere where we could call home and be on the island, because we are, you know, the swim team of the islands. So that's just one kind of backstory to the Wild Dunes swim team, because we would really hate to see it dismantled. It's just great opportunity for all of our kids and our parents. I always have parents, new parents, that reach out to me over Facebook or Instagram or whatever it is and say, hey, I'm new to the island. Do you guys have a swim team? I'm so interested in this. I want my kids to get involved. I want, you know, to meet new parents, to meet new, like them to meet new kids, because they're going to start school next year. So it just really is a great community. It really brings all the families together. We have great camaraderie. I mean, it's just, I cannot say enough about it. I did want to say, you know, with partnering with Oyster Point, I think that's a great, like, it shows a lot of community. We just need us to have our own, like, place and area to be. And I feel like it's not just about, you know, little kids that swim, but also with the families, they really feel a part of the team and they feel part of the community. So just going to kind of share that with y'all. So if you have any questions, I'm always available.
Thank you, Susan. Just the first name, Chris Coley. Chris Crowley, Coastal Expeditions.
How are you? I'm good. How are you? So Crowley is how my daddy says it. But the I'm Chris Crowley, and I live at 6485 Comeabout Way in a Romaine Retreat in Allendale. But my business is at the marina at the Isle of Palms. And so we're Coastal Expeditions, and we do the kayaking and paddleboarding at the marina. And that's what I'm here to talk about. It's none of my business, but I'm also pro pool. that's a great place to learn how to kayak, self-rescues and things like that. So a pool is such a great thing. Thank you all for hearing me. I know y'all are busy, and it says a lot about a city council that's able to draw such a crowd. Again, my name is Chris Crowley. I am a business owner, but I'm also a husband and a father, and I have a one-year-old girl and a six-year-old girl, and those are the reasons that I won't be able to stay for the entirety of the meeting, because their mother doesn't love being a single parent. I don't live on the Isle of Palms. I have lived on the Isle of Palms on 8th Street and on Harton for a little while in my earlier 20s, but my history with the marina and the Isle of Palms dates back a long, long time. Starting in 1992, when we began to, when rotomolded kayaks finally made it accessible to the common person to actually use those self-powered vehicles. It was before stand-up paddleboards were really invented. And we would bring trailers full of kayaks and go kayaking out of the Isle of Palms. And it was a different day when you could actually put a bunch of kayaks in to lead a tour and not interfere with powerboat traffic at the boat landing. And it was a safer day and a less frequent use day. But since then, Coastal Expeditions has uninterrupted offered kayak tours from the marina at the Isle of Palms. So that's 28 years of offering that service. We eventually moved in as tenants at the marina under the Marina Joint Ventures and Brian Berrigan's leadership and have prospered there and moved around and always been sort of available to get out of the way when in the way we were, especially as the boat landing became more popular with power boats. And right now we operate out of the only legal trailer on the Isle of Palms over on the waterway side off of the docks. And we make it happen there as we are congenial and happy to do. Coastal Expeditions I see it as a service organization, and that's how it shaped me and how I've been shaped by it over time. Just almost 2 years ago now, we found the necessity to create a nonprofit called the Coastal Expeditions Foundation. And we sort of started with the bases loaded with that foundation because we think if we do good when we do well, you know? And so when we do well, we do good for the community. And that's always been the source of our grassroots and our sort of ethos and culture as Coastal Expeditions. And so although I do recognize many of your faces, I'm not a political person, and I don't sort of strive to be political or really take part in the political process because it's just it's so frustrating for me in the long run. But I do feel like that there's an opportunity at the marina now for Coastal Expeditions to provide a higher service to the community, the citizens of the Isle of Palms, than we are currently at liberty to do. And this has to do with the docks that are just south up the waterway where the current tidal wave water sports dock are. And I'm happy for things to go unchanged and just stay the way that they are, but what I would offer for my, that's why I'm here tonight, is to speak to the idea that if it is within the wisdom of counsel through prayer and meditation to do something different with that dock, that it could be more accessible to the community than it currently is. If Coastal Expeditions, for instance, were there and were allowed to not only do our part that we do now and help facilitate self-powered vessels, kayaks and paddleboards onto the water, that we could also be available in the same time and in the same space to assist, help, instruct, and otherwise aid communities of the Isle of Palms to get on the water in self-powered watercraft. Kayaks and paddleboards is what what we truck in. And if it were, you know, I could imagine that area of the marina would be expanded maybe to a more open and greener space that were more welcoming to the citizens of the Isle of Palms as they have more access and more use and are encouraged to bring their families and themselves out to the marina and something that's more belonging to them and theirs. And we would be willing, Coastal Expeditions, as our history demonstrates, would be willing to help facilitate that. I'm not sure how that all actually works out or how that comes down, and I'm not trying to create any ill will or enemies at the marina, but I do think of a day where the community of the Isle of Palms could use their marina facilities to easily get on and off the water and self-powered watercraft. I have been part of...
Chris, we try to keep our comments down to 3 minutes. I should have clarified that at the beginning, but let you kind of wrap
it up. I'll wrap it up.
Thank you very much.
I've gone over my time.
It's all right.
I have been a part of procurement processes in my life, and I know that those are generally weighted on certain sets of parameters. I will say that the kayaking paddleboarding industry is not a lucrative industry, but it is filled with purpose, and we find that to be more valuable than money. So if there is a procurement process that's being put together, and I've asked Desiree to keep me informed, I would recommend that it be weighted more on purpose and service than on financial gain. So thank you for your time.
Thank you so much, Chris. Yes, sir. We had two people signed up. We still have a few minutes left. If anybody, yes, ma'am.
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't.
I'm going to ask you to keep it to 3 minutes. No, please come up.
Okay, sorry, I didn't.
But I'm going to let us go to 30 minutes. If we need to go to 30 minutes for our residents. Name and address.
Krista Swingle and 2704 Cameron, but just moved. Literally, we're living on 12 as of last weekend. So, good evening, Mayor Carroll and council members. Both myself and my family would like to express our support of having the... the intersection at the connector in Palm being turned into all PED crossing function added to the system. This would stop traffic allowing exclusive pedestrian right-of-way only when the crosswalk is activated. On two occasions in 2018 and one in 2019, my family and I were actually almost hit while in the intersection walking to the supermarket. The problem actually lies when you're headed towards Harris Teeter from Sullivan's Island and or northwest on Palm, on the connector side of Palm, and the vehicles traveling the same direction have a yield green light to turn onto the connector. The issue I've encountered is when drivers are looking for a gap in the southwest traveling vehicles, and then they accelerate quickly to make the turn onto the connector between traffic. At that time, you as a pedestrian find yourself in the middle of the crosswalk and with the vehicle coming straight at you as the vehicle's trying to get onto the connector. All ped would only cause additional traffic time to traffic when a pedestrian initiated the signal. So that's the only time. And per my conversations with DOT would be about approximately 40 seconds. And I think we can all agree that 40 seconds is not a long time if it means saving the life of a person or a whole family, for that matter. So I appreciate your attention to this, your time, and supporting this request and consideration.
Thank you very much. And for your assistance there.
I know, sorry.
Anyone else? Hearing none, moving on to regular business.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to suspend the rules of order at this time and entertain item 10, miscellaneous business, at this time. Make that form of motion.
Do I hear a second?
Second.
Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor of reorganizing the agenda, moving 10 forward, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any nays? Unanimous. Miscellaneous business, further discussion and possible action regarding the swimming pool citizen advisory board. I asked this to be put on the agenda for us to talk while everybody was here tonight. We had a high altitude budgeting workshop a week ago talking about our projects we have on Isle of Palms and the expenses we've got coming down the pike. And I'm going to let the chair of our Ways and Means kind of give us an overview of where we stand with major projects and funding.
Thank you. Tonight will be a heavy Ways and Means update because we've had a lot happen in the last month or so. So at our first workshop, which was on the 12th at the Rec Center, whole lot of discussion around many projects and many items and cost savings and revenue ideas and all kind of things. But specific to the request now around projects, we kicked around, probably 7 or 8 projects, give or take, and wound up with 3 absolutely on the board, absolutely to go into this fiscal year 21 budget, and that is phase 3 drainage and a couple of projects at the marina. And that's kind of where we drew the line, so to speak, from at least getting to a first draft of our budget before we could factor in the revenue ideas that we had, the raises for employees, the other cost items that are factored in our budgets. So that's kind of where we are sitting right now with our first draft of our budget. Those 3 particular projects in the budget. We're probably going to borrow money to make those 3 projects in and of themselves, and that doesn't even take into account the sewage and other drainage and other items that are out there. So, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you very much. Does anyone else have anything to add as for going forward with the swimming pool advisory board or not?
Well, I just question, I've been wondering, is it in a comprehensive plan down the road anywhere? Has it been recommended by the Planning Commission? Or anything like that? Is it in our long-range vision?
It was part of the original Recreation Department's master plan. At one point, it was removed from the master plan, and then years ago, City Council made a motion to add it to the 10-year capital plan. A few years ago, during a budgeting workshop, City Council made a motion to remove it from the 10-year capital plan. So currently, as it stands, it is not included in the 10-year capital plan to do a pool at the recreation center.
Yes, sir.
Just, I don't think there's anyone up there more fiscally conservative than me. I think there's two issues. Before I was on council, we always talked about the 10-year capital plan. The problem with this city, we don't have a strategic plan. We don't know where we're going in 10 years. So I think the discussion around the pool, for me, is very much what can we afford to do over the next couple of years. But as it was brought before council, was to have a non-funded, non-encumbering discussion of feasibility that the Recreation Committee would do, which, you know, to me, that's the Recreation Committee's call. It's not for us to say, gee, we shouldn't do that. Those discussions happen at Ways and Means, but I would make the same comment I've made for years up here. We need a strategic plan. I'm not interested in a 10-year capital plan that doesn't talk about where we are, where we're going, and how we get there. We've never done that as a city, and I used to have these discussions with Administrator Tucker that a strategic plan is not the same as a 10-year capital plan if you don't know how you're going to do it. That's it.
Thank you. Yes, ma'am.
I have a few things to say, and I'll start with the fact that our Recreation Committee of last year really started to talk about this issue with some seriousness in response to, honestly, a conversation that erupted on Facebook when the Recreation Department put out just a request for ideas of what would you like to see at the Recreation Center. And it evolved, and everybody knows I'm a big pool proponent. I was not engaged in this conversation at all, but it took off, and there was great interest and discussion and about how much people wished that we had a pool, all the great things that could happen if we had a community pool, and regret that we don't have a community pool. So it was with that talking point that in our committee that we said, why don't we explore this issue? But we discussed, and because we have heard our leadership say that, and others say that a referendum would really be what we would want to hear from. We want to hear a resounding voice from the community that a pool is viable and that we would entertain, that they want this, that this is wanted. So we discussed having a referendum, trying to engage as many people as possible. So timing seemed like this fall would be good timing to really get a good pulse from the community. And then we saw an opportunity in creating a citizens advisory board, which is something that our council as a whole has talked about wanting to, a tool for engaging more voices and more community input. So we thought this seemed to be a great opportunity to help have a citizens advisory board that would help us get an initial survey out to better gauge with the whole community the potential interest. So this is really at a very early stage. We are trying as a committee to be very diligent and get good information. We don't have the details to really discuss whether we can afford a pool or not. We have some very early estimates that maybe we could have an outdoor pool that would reasonably cost under $1 million, maybe even less than $750,000. Which is, for construction costs. But those are just initial estimates that we haven't really been able to dig into. And we've also not talked about the potential revenue that streams that could come back to us for the pool. And if you take a look at Mount Pleasant and how much they charge for memberships for their community pools, which is $400 a family for residents and I think $750 for non-residents. When you start to look at those kinds of numbers and realize that a pool is not just an expense, if we can have some money coming back to us to help offset the costs, I'm not going to say that we're going to cover all the costs, but help offset that while providing what could be a great community gathering spot for all ages. And something that's clearly something that we hear in the marina conversation, that this community wants more gathering spots. And there's a lot of potential here. I would just say let's not kill this conversation at this point. Let's dig into the details. The Planning Commission, which I totally respect their wisdom, has offered to help us. It's a good time for them to jump in and dig into some of the research. Between that and the Citizens Advisory Board, we get a lot done with volunteer power to, you know, vet this potential for a pool. And if there's a discussion here, with, I'm fearing that we want to reverse last month's decision to create a Citizens Advisory Board. I would point out that we've already put that out. 13 people have already applied to be on the board, Citizens Advisory Board. And if we say to them, we're not doing this after all, I think it sends a bad message that we're not interested in your involvement. We're not interested into the community. We're not interested in your opinions on the pool. And, you know, I just think I encourage you all to stay the course. Let us have this conversation. And let us do it with the citizens' input that I think all of us would appreciate.
Thank you. Yes, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'll try not to reiterate or restate things that you've already said, but I will say I agree with Councilor Rebell. Well, I didn't put it over here. I thought maybe that was a subtle hint. Can you hear me in the back?
Yeah.
Thanks. I agree wholeheartedly with Councilmember Bell. I think that we're lacking a little bit of a North Star as a city, and that doesn't come from the 10-year capital plan. Wholeheartedly agree on that. I also agree with Councilmember Smith that everything that the Recreation Committee is doing is actually in the spirit of fiscal conservancy. We're doing all of this research for free at this stage, and that's why we have worked to enlist the help of experienced, committed volunteers from the community, as well as the Planning Commission. And so we've got two great resources already lined up and ready to go to conduct research for us that whether or not we decide to spend additional money on research, we're not even at that stage yet, let alone making a decision whether or not we want to spend money on a pool. It's so early for us to kill this when we have, you know, we've heard as much support for this as anything since I've been on council via email and just community outreach. So I don't know how in good conscience this council can say we need to put a stop to this when we're not committing a single dollar tonight towards further research that, frankly, the type of research we're trying to do will help inform future strategic sessions, in my opinion.
Thank you very much. Anyone else? Yes, sir.
I will real quick. And I appreciate everybody's concern up here. Just over 2 years ago, four of us were elected up here, and right after that, we went through a citizens forum. And that's how it kind of guided us a little bit on a lot of things that we're doing right now, whether it's parking or drainage. And actually, one of those things that came up was the pool. Residents wanted to see a pool. We have so many things on our plate right now that we have to look forward to. But this, I mean, to utilize the citizenry that we have on the island and to look forward, I mean, to look into this project and do our due diligence. Whether it's parking or whether it's short-term rentals or whether it's whatever it is, I mean, we have to do our due diligence on it to make that decision. We're not saying going forward with the pool or not. We're just utilizing free services from the community to figure out what that's going to be, and I believe that's all we're looking for. It's just, you know, let's pull this information together. The administration's working on our budget. The administration's working on public safety building. The administration's working on our parking. The administration, it's a number of things that we're working on. So when we have volunteers that want to dedicate their time into, you know, kind of putting stuff, their ducks in a row and figure out what we need to do, I think we should take advantage of it.
Mr. Mayor, one more quick thought.
Yes, sir. Twice.
Yeah, just for clarity, we separated referendum in the discussion when we said move forward. So there is no intention, as it was passed, to go to referendum in November because the timeline's way too short. The discussion was around we would move forward and allow further discussion without a referendum, and I think that point needs to be made because we're not intending to put something forward in November. Unless something changes up here. I'm just one.
Yes, sir.
One thing real quick. I think having the conversation's a great idea. We decided to put about $7 million worth of projects in our budget for fiscal 21. This is probably not a 21 issue anyway, regardless of what we like tonight or not. But if we're going to kick off this advisory committee, I think it's more about managing expectations than anything else. Yes, we want the input. Yes, we need some due diligence done. Yes, we need to see if it's even feasible. We don't know if it's feasible to do something right down there. If we could do a pool at the marina, that would solve all kinds of problems. But I think it's just managing expectations when this group gets kicked off by the rec committee or whoever's leading this group to say, we're looking for input, and I think we need to have that budget conversation and say, here's what we're challenged with. We're putting $7 million worth of projects on. We're going to borrow money to do that for fiscal 21, more than likely. We save and scrimp and put everything together to pay for the new public safety building again. I just think we need to manage expectations in a hard way that says, we'll take the input. This may go on a shelf for a couple of years. Right. Who knows what's going to wind up happening with this thing? Because we don't know what it costs. We don't know if it's feasible. So I just want to be real clear that we're managing that committee's expectations when they get kicked off. Because you don't want an engaged committee to become frustrated with the process.
Right. Yes, ma'am.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh,
no. Go ahead, sis.
Oh, you
haven't spoken. Go ahead.
You haven't had your shot.
All right. What I'd like to say is, as a new person on council, one of the things that I ran on was my desire to see us be more collaborative with the citizens and residents of this island anyway. I don't think that we've done enough of that at times in the past. And being a longtime resident of this island, I can tell you that that's been the case in some situations that I've encountered. Not with anybody currently on council. This is all a great group of people, and I've worked well with them so far and in the past as well. I think that we've put it out there that we want to get citizens' input in regards to whether a pool is even feasible or not. I think we ought to stick with that. I think that that's something we ought to go with the advisory committee to get the feedback. And as Philip had mentioned, this may be put on the shelf for quite a while. It may never come off the shelf. We don't know, but we just need to get the input. I also agree with Councilman Bell in regards to a strategic plan. Another thing, and I know that I ran on, and I talked about during one of the videos that I did, was the need for our city to have a strategic plan. We don't have one. We have the capital plan that Councilman Bell spoke of. And there are a number of municipalities in this state here that have good, viable, strong strategic plans in place, and it's really making a difference in their communities. I saw that firsthand at the Municipal Association meeting a couple of weeks ago. A city like Rock Hill that has a great, viable, action-packed strategic plan that's not mountains of material, but it hits the points. It gets to the strategies, the key strategies, and also the tactical things that need to be done behind that. So that's where I stand on it. I do think we should get the citizens' input, but I also want to speak up for that strategic plan that Councilman Bell spoke of also.
Yes, ma'am.
I'll just add in that I agree the strategic planning could be really valuable and would be glad for us to go in that direction. And otherwise, we certainly will manage expectations and keep it realistic as we're working with the committee. I think we can definitely do that. With the advisory board.
Yes, ma'am. Councilman Ward.
Okay, my last time to speak. So it was 30 or 31 years ago, I forget, whether it was 90 or 91, I was on council, and this issue came up. And at that time, Keith Orvin and I had formed a 501c3, the Isle of Palms Swim Club, nonprofit agency. The city's approach at that time was, we don't have anything to do with it. Nothing. If you want to get out press releases and you want to get out recommendations from people, you want to get input, that's all on you. But we're not going to take it on as a city and spend resources or staff time or anything on this issue. And the referendum failed. It's hard to find even any record of it, is how deep they wanted that thing buried back then. And, you know, I was all in favor of it then, and when I got into the cost and the maintenance and all the other things, but, you know, I'm just one opinion, but I agree, we need a strategic plan and all of that, but I'm not in favor of the city spending a dime on this until if the time we go to a referendum. Nothing.
Thanks, sir. Anyone else?
I'll just repeat for my second. I mean, the citizens has asked us to look into drainage. The city has asked us to look into parking. The city has asked us to look into a number of things. And the city has asked us, I mean, the residents have asked us to look into a pool. And if we were just to blow it off, I mean, and just say, no, we're not going to do it, I think we have to, it's upon us. Whether we agree with it or not, the residents have asked us to look into it. Whether we move forward with it or not, it'll be based on the information that comes out of those meetings that are going to, that are volunteered. I mean, it's not going to be any cost to the city. So basically, citizens have asked us to look into it. We should take it upon ourselves and put it in front of this volunteer group to look into it. And then we can make a decision at that point down the road. Obviously, it's not going to be this fiscal year because we have so much, or next fiscal year, I assume, because we have so much going on. But we definitely need to look, I mean, take their concerns into consideration and just not blow them off.
Okay. I'm going to say my 5 cent piece. I put it on the agenda tonight because after our budgeting workshop, it became very apparent that we are reacting to everything instead of being proactive. We're reacting to drainage. We're reacting to a marina that's been neglected. We're reacting to a public safety building that was poorly built. So we got a lot of things on our platter, and city staff has got a lot on their platter. But at the same time, when this was approached to us, it was, let us do a citizens advisory board, no cost to the city, let's go forward with this. I'm good with that. But as long as there's not a realistic reason to think that we're going to react to it or do something, knowing that our financial house of cards right now isn't that solid. We have to take care of the things that we need to take care of, our needs versus our wants. So again, this is good, healthy conversation, and for everybody else to hear out there, I think we're going to take care of our needs first, our wants, but we will look into it, and I agree with Councilman Ward, at no cost to the city. Hearing anything else? Let's go back to our regular scheduled agenda. Ways and Means.
Ways and Means, Mr. Mayor, again, it's going to be a heavy update, so I'll apologize in advance. We had two meetings. We have a lot of action items tonight that we'll get to, but first, just a quick update on the two meetings. We had our first budget workshop we referenced a minute ago on the 12th at the Rec Center at 3 o'clock. A lot of conversation, good conversation around expense savings, revenue ideas, what projects to put in the budget, what not to do. So we have staff and we have developed a first draft of the budget that we'll be looking at tomorrow, actually. And then we have another workshop scheduled for mid-March to look at that first round of the budget in some more detail to see what else we may can fit in or what else may need to come out. So that's that. The second item, we met regular Ways and Means Committee on February 18th at 6 o'clock. Council and residents have a handout just to give you a quick high level of where we are from a budget standpoint. This is through January. You see the top left side is revenues. So revenues for the month, about $9.1 million. Go to the right, expenditures, year-to-date actual, about $8.1 million. So on its surface, that looks really good from a monthly or year-to-date standpoint. But if you look at the other two columns, it says remaining to collect, $9.7 million. Go to the right, remaining to spend, about $14.1 million. So we have a lot of expenses coming out in the second half of our fiscal year between fire truck, public safety building, and other expenses that are going on. So while we look pretty good right now and have had a good year-to-date so far, and our cash balances are in a good spot, our general fund revenues are up, our tourism revenues are up, all that's great, but we have some significant spending happening in the second half of the fiscal year. Other items real quick from that meeting. Like I say, we'll cover everything in a vote here in a moment. The only one not having a vote, we replaced the HVAC unit in the rec center offices. That was a budgeted item. Our next Ways and Means Committee is Tuesday, March 17th at 5. At the end of our Ways and Means Committee, we went into executive session to receive legal advice on a proposed civil settlement offer from Jonathan Gandolfo, and the committee took action to reject that proposal. So that's the Ways and Means update. So now back to our agenda. Number of items that need approval. First one is an award of a contract to Munderland Pyrotechnics in the amount of $25,000 for the July 4th fireworks show.
Do I hear a motion for that?
I'll make a motion.
Second. Discussion.
John,
yes,
ma'am. Tell Bruce?
Yes.
Yeah, well, I think I kind of took that. Yes, ma'am.
All right. So I have always enjoyed a good fireworks show, and I'm not going to argue against us doing this. However, I have a much better understanding of the amount of trash that we are pumping into the ocean and the beach when we do that, and I'm not sure that we can completely recover all of that. So I would just encourage the committee, the Public Safety Committee, which is where this request originates, to see if there's any way to mitigate the amount of environmental impact coming up and in the future.
We'll send that to the Public Works Committee.
or we're happy to discuss it in Public Works.
We've talked about that. The staff and both the fire and police department are on top of it right away, and to mitigate a lot of those scenarios and get the beach clean away. And we actually have a beach sweep the following morning, mm-hmm. which is put together by the police department and sweeps the beach and cleans up all the debris.
And I have been out there at those sweeps, and so I have an idea of how that works, but I also fear that a lot of that's just getting pumped straight into the ocean, and we're not necessarily able to retrieve it. Plus, there may be also some concerns about chemicals that are in fireworks, or anyways, if y'all could have more conversation about that, I would appreciate it.
A lot of it depends on the wind. It's not going to know about it.
Okay, anyone else? All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Unanimous.
Next item is an approval of a 5-year extension to the JLG Enterprise contract for beach garbage and recycling collection services.
Do I hear a motion?
I'll make a motion to approve.
Second.
JLG.
Discussion.
Let's hope that's what he was saying.
Do we have discussion? Yes, sir.
I just have a quick question. Oh, okay.
Go.
Okay.
Age before beauty.
Well, he's got them. So I just am trying to wrap my head around and make sure that we're being a consistent body when we make decisions. And so if you could just, and I'm looking at the city administrator and our legal counsel, if you could just ease my mind that as it relates to our procurement process and going to bid, is this consistent with what we've stated as a body that we want to do?
So the only difference with this contract is when City Council approved the assignment to the new owner, it had 6 years left in the current contract. So what the city did was authorize that with a caveat that we would have a 1-year trial period, and upon successful termination or completion of that trial period, the city would honor the remaining of the contract that had originally approved as part of the assignment. So yes. Once this contract is completed after the 5-year, we would be in a position to bid it out again.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Any other questions?
Say, Mr. Mayor, I'll echo Donnie's comments. He won't speak up tonight, but he's gotten some good comments and complimentary services on behalf of these folks that have been doing it. I've actually received a couple of emails, too, just once they saw that this was on the agenda tonight, just in support of extending this contract to our current vendor. Which is pretty incredible for something right like that. So thank you, folks.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Well, I'd like to first say that Councilman Pound stole my thunder.
It's a role I
say exactly what he said. Being on the Public Works Committee, I was really touched, I guess you'd say, by some of the comments that Donnie Pitts had to say about the folks that are doing the collection now. And I can tell you, living on Palm Boulevard and seeing the beach quite often where I live, they seem to be doing a great job on Palm Boulevard, on the beach, and all the areas there. Certainly no complaints when I go down there and look things over. It looks like everything's done very efficiently, so I'm totally in favor of this.
Anyone else? Hearing none. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any nays? Unanimous?
Yes, sir. Next item is approval of expenditure in the amount of $2,000 for the purchase of reusable bags for tourism promotion and to encourage beach cleanup when visiting the beach.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Okay, do we have a show and tell?
No, not this time.
Wait.
I do have a request for an amendment so that the amount would be $2,200. With that amount, we'd be able to purchase 1,250 bags. We looked at the unit price for that. It makes sense to go up to, thank you, Councilmember Bell, to go up a little bit because we get a better price. Unfortunately, if we go to the next level, we're talking about a $6,000 expenditure, so I don't think that we're not there yet. I do see this as an opportunity to get sponsorships from vendors from Front Beach and maybe display the logo for the next round, but we want to go ahead and get started so that we can start advertising and working with our partners, the CVB, advertising the new rules that we want our visitors to know and be aware of when they come to the beach, and also provide an opportunity for folks to create a habit of helping pick up the trash that they see when they're enjoying the Isle of Palms Beach.
So. Motion to amend the request to $2,200.
Second.
Okay. For the amendment, all those in favor signify by saying, any discussion? It was a great idea, by the way. Volume. At $200, I think we might be able to.
We won that round.
We did.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Okay, back to the original amendment. All those.
Original motion.
Original motion, I'm sorry. Back to the original motion. Signify all those say aye.
Aye.
Any nays? It passes unanimously. Both that and the amendment. Okay. Yes, sir.
Next one. Approval of expenditure in the amount of $4,000 for advertising new beach rules in SIP magazine and Island Eye newspapers.
Your motion.
Second.
Discussion?
You had requested to recuse yourself?
Yes.
Well, you should just state it on the record.
Yeah, I think in the minutes as well from our Ways and Means Committee meeting, indicated that I don't believe I was the one who made the motion for this at the Ways and Means, because I need to recuse myself from it because I am occasionally paid by SIP magazine as a contributor.
That needs to be in writing.
Yeah. Yes, ma'am.
I did go back and listen to that again, and it was actually very clear that you seconded the motion. You seconded the motion, that's all. Which is fine. And then you said something about the proposal to the administrator, and Councilmember Buchanan also said, that's fine for now. We need to do the recusal at this meeting. So I did go back and listen just to make sure.
Okay. I won't be voting on this.
For clarity, should we come back to we can vote on it tonight, but should it be in writing?
Yeah, she would submit something for the record.
Okay.
We'll get that, yes.
Okay, all of those, any other discussion?
Did we put a motion to approve?
I think we heard a motion and a second.
There was...
Motion, second.
Second.
Okay.
There's just one question for clarity. We did ask at the Ways and Means, size of the ad. And
yes, it's included in the packet.
I apologize for missing
it. It's a one-page ad.
Thank you.
People.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I was just to follow up on that. It's kind of confusing. In one part of their bid, it says that there's four ads, half-page ads. And then down below, it says that they would do 11 ads. So
it would be 11 ads in the paper, and then the other ones would be in the SIP magazine.
Right, the one full page was in the magazine.
Correct.
But then it said there would be four half page in the newspaper. And then below it says that they would do add a half page, and then below it says 11 ads on a quarter page.
So I'm seeing that during the presentation that they did to the ATAC's advisory committee, their request was for a full page ad in the SIT magazine and then the 11 ads with the paper. So that's what you would be approving with the $4,000.
Anyone else? Just from my point of view, you know, that SIT magazine is a very nice magazine we'll put together. I asked about it being put in all the rental houses on Isle of Palms, and also ones that they can walk off that be replaced. So, and I think this is part of our method of getting the word out there to our vacationing guests about our trash, our plastics, that we take it seriously, not to mention the bags that we'd be putting out there too. Hearing nothing else, all those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any nays? Unanimous. Thank you. Next.
Award of a contract to Trident Construction in the amount of $5,256,159 for the construction of the repairs to the public safety building.
Do I hear a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Discussion. Desiree, would you give us a clarification for audience purposes?
Yes, this is the third phase of the contract. As you all know, City Council went through a competitive bid process to engage the services of a design-build team. City hired Trident Construction and Coast Architects. They conducted an investigative report and that presented sort of the needs of the building, what needs to be repaired, what needs to be removed, what could stay. That report became part of what council approved as the project budget. We're looking at a $6.2 million. That number includes a 10% contractor's contingency and a 15% contingency to the city. After working on the design and drawings and engineering, working with conducting some specific tests, they came back with that to us with some refined numbers of the actual work. And those numbers came back a little bit different. And during the Ways and Means meeting, it was presented to council a couple of options of how to stay within budget. And council made a decision to, move forward with a simplified entrance design that would put the project at roughly $620 under budget. And then the decision was made that the contractor is going to notify the city as to when we would need to make a final decision on the design for the building, and we would look at our contingency funds and make a decision at that point. So you all are approving the total number of the total budget for the project, knowing that on top of that we are building in a 15% contingency that the city is carrying. That 5.2 number includes a 10% contractor's contingency that we will get if it's not used.
Thank you very much. Yes, sir.
Yeah, I just wanted to bring up, we have a contract with Insight, which is the third-party consultant to watch over the Trident construction. Trident's a great company, been around for a long time. But having that next set of eyes is, I think, really crucial. It's my understanding there's about 4 hours a week in their contract to inspect. And I just kind of feel like that's hardly nearly enough to keep eyes on this project that we've got to get right this next time. Mm-hmm. And so I believe Desiree has had some discussion. I believe there was some discussion in the last council. So I think that's been out there. But I just want to throw that out there, that we need to kind of look ahead and maybe look at offering some more hours to this Insight group, to where we have eyes on the job a little bit more than 4 hours a week, because mm-hmm. we've got to get this right.
Correct. Owner's representative, council member Popson was mentioning, we hired them. When we developed the scope of work for that project, we worked with Trident and Douglas was involved, and we came up with a base number so that the bids coming back, we could compare apples to apples. So we came up with a 4 hour a week number, recognizing that as the project progressed, we are either managing those 4 hours within the project, or we would be in a position to expand that contract. So that was how it was presented. We have money in the budget. It was just a way to be able to compare all the proposals, apples to apples, but understanding that there will be potentially the opportunity to have change orders to expand that.
Just going back, as this went through committee last year, there was never discussion of limiting oversight hours.
Correct.
The items that Administrator Fragoso is talking about is $170,000 plus difference between the two entranceways. Mm-hmm. So that was tabled as a decision not to spend $170,000 now. But I would strongly suggest and agree with Councilmember Popson that oversight to doing this right, and Desiree, help me remember, but also she just gave me this look like she can't remember. I don't believe that. The contractor is also photographing and documenting
Correct.
Each step of the way, everything
Correct.
That's being done, and the oversight that we're adding is on top of oversight that they've already built into the contract as well, which we did not have on the original building.
Correct. They'll have an on-site general superintendent that is going to be on-site at all times, and they will document everything and prepare reports to us before anything is sealed, before anything is finalized.
Right.
So on top of all of that, we felt that we wanted to...
It's not just the 4 hours.
It's just not correct. That's true.
Yes, sir.
I don't think that this issue can be stressed enough. I mean, from the very beginning, this thing went through committee to process when we knew that we had going to have to be gotten a brand new building, 9 years old. And our question from every committee member that I can remember was, how do we get here? And how do we make sure we don't come back here? And the experts told us that it was oversight, a lack of oversight. And so I agree with Councilmember Popson that I'm glad to hear from you that the scope will be expanded, because I don't think 4 hours is nearly enough project of this size. So I'm glad we talked about it.
If I don't mind adding my little 10 cents worth, look at our fire department, look at our police department. I went by there today. These guys and ladies are going to be living out of trailers for the next year, and I bow to them for the jobs they do and the conditions they're going to be working under. It's sad that we're in this position right now, but we're going to get it right, and we're going to do whatever we can to make it right during this process. So thank you all for putting up with it. So back to that number. For Trident Construction, $5,256,159. We have a motion. A second discussion. All of those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any nays? Carries unanimously.
Next item is approval of renewal of agreement with Palms Hotel for use of the municipal parking lot and include provisions for automatic renewal and to adjust rates as determined by council.
Do I hear a motion?
Motion to approve.
Second.
Discussion.
We aren't talking about.
Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any nays? Unanimous. Okay, yes, sir.
Last item, approval of an amount not to exceed $15,000 for the installation of a pervious patio area behind the public restrooms on Front Beach.
Do I hear a motion?
Motion to approve.
Second.
Discussion.
It's not just the comment. There's a number of things going on in front of the public restrooms right now. The tables are in poor or bad shape. The awnings are in poor and bad shape. They need to be replaced. So it's all part of this refurbishment of the Front Beach area to make it more inviting and more tolerable to the conditions that are down there right now.
Yes, ma'am.
I think the mayor brought up a good point about making sure that we involve the businesses, especially mm-hmm. in the immediate surrounding area, making sure that they are on board mm-hmm. and feel their voices being heard in this.
Correct. And we will. That's part of the plan, get mm-hmm. their input. We just want it. It's not necessarily allocated in the budget, so we need to get council approval for the funds. So the design and the plans are not yet finalized. Timeline is not yet finalized. We just wanted to go ahead and get some funds approved so that we know what we have to work with and share those plans with our Front Beach business owners and get their input. We certainly always welcome it.
Any other discussion? Yes, sir.
We did confirm at Real Property that the tables and chairs and the Adirondack chairs will be bolted down.
Anyone else?
And just as a piece of information, replacing the existing awning and the picnic shelters there cost roughly $6,000 to $7,000. So it's just a huge expense that we felt like we could allocate towards something that just improves the whole area as a whole. So that was the impetus of coming before you all and get these funds approved.
Again, my 5 cents worth. As Councilman Smith said, I always like to make sure that we're talking to our surrounding Front Beach neighbors. And I voted against it last time because we hadn't, but I think we have, and we are. The Front Beach area needs a lot of improvements.
TLC.
Third world country is what he says. Where have we heard that before? But anyway, it does need a lot of attention down there. This is the first step in it, but I am going to vote for it tonight. So anyway, any other discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any nays? Unanimous? Yes, sir.
I think
that's you. Good. And you're
good. Yeah, sorry, that's it.
Okay, moving on. Public safety.
The Public Safety Committee met Monday, February 3rd. All committee members were in attendance as well as administration. We didn't have any citizens' comments at the time. We had an update on our safety camera at Breach Inlet. Chief Connett reported that on the recent meeting with Technology Solutions, they're testing the cell phone. Basically, what we're going to do is we have a safety camera that we put at Breach Inlet to put on the water, and we're still working with, because we have so many folks that, and so many calls of folks in the water in distress, so now we'll have a camera down there to kind of help monitor that area so we can respond to it quicker and faster. We're still working on it. I actually got an email from the chief today that they're still working on it and trying to utilize that technology to make it happen. But it'll be up and hopefully running before, I mean, it will be up and running before the beach season coming up. We did have a update on the purchase of our 75-foot ladder truck. The 75-foot ladder truck is in New York. The chief was there recently and looked at it. And that will travel from New York for inspection and training, and it'll actually be coming down here soon. The 95-foot ladder truck is in Florida and is expected to be in service in June here on the island. We had discussion of both the police and fire departments' fiscal year 21 scheduled capital expenditures. We'll be discussing it more through our Ways and Means Committee and budget committee meetings. Under new business, we had some discussion of implementation of paid parking and on the designated beach parking zones. We recently had a meeting with SCDOT to clarify their position on paid parking and what it would be required of the city to implement paid parking. It looks like it's something that the SCDOT has relaxed some of their standards and allow us to perhaps move forward, maybe not this beach season, but next beach season, to help implement a paid parking program throughout the island. But like I said, that's still in the works, and we still have a lot of discussion before that will go into effect. We have the presentation of 1033 Military Surplus Program, which is super cool. It's a program, it's a federal surplus program, which allows us to utilize federal surplus equipment at no charge. So we can have generators or food trucks that would be great during hurricanes or other vehicles that we're able to utilize. So we're going to, as those items come available, we will be able to look throughout what's going on, what's in the federal surplus program, and pick and choose of those items, perhaps it would be benefit the city. We had a consideration of a request for an exemption from the noise ordinance and a veterans and first responders blessing, which will be held on November 7th of this year. It'll be at Breach Inlet, and that motion passed unanimously. We have the consideration of a resolution authorizing the consumption of beer and wine at Front Beach for the Front Beach Festival. As you know, we have to do this for every festival that we have going on, there will be alcohol in the public right away. And that festival will be held March 7th, and that motion passed unanimously. This is interesting. We had consideration, we had some discussion on this previously, but a consideration of a failure to stop on police command ordinance. Before, I guess if somebody, if police officer commanded you to stop, you didn't necessarily have to. But now we have a, we're just kind of following a state law to...
It's advisable.
We're following some other laws or state laws in to go through and utilize that. So that motion passed unanimously. We did have some discussion concerning the pedestrian crossing, which we had it during citizens' comments tonight. So for at the Olive Palms connector, there were some concerns about the safety crossing the Olive Palms connector because of the way the traffic turns to the left. You get a green arrow. I mean, you get a crosswalk, and then but people still can still turn left. The committee didn't make any recommendations at the time or make any votes at it, but we just brought it to the council just so you're all aware of it. And basically, what we want you to do is next time you're at the traffic light, let's sit there and imagine a 41 seconds. It's basically a 41 second stop, always stop. I didn't feel comfortable making a decision at the time just because I didn't sit at the traffic light for 41 seconds. I just wanted to see what it's going to be like and see what the traffic would be like. So just making everybody aware of that. So we'll discuss it more at our next public safety meeting. There was no recommendation. It was just to bring it towards City Council.
Yes, it's included in the on the agenda for as an action item.
For
tonight.
It was the council member Ward made a motion to present this recommendation. It wasn't a recommendation. Councilman Ward made a motion to bring it towards full city council, not for a motion though.
Sure. If council wants to take action tonight, it could because it's listed on the agenda, but certainly doesn't have to.
Correct. Well, I'm not. If anybody wants to make a motion, but I would assume that everybody do their due diligence and set the traffic like 41 seconds and see what the traffic was going to be like before we move forward on it. And then just because I don't think if anybody was abreast of this at all, other than this. Than from your council minutes. That's the only thing.
Yeah, before we move forward and make the changes to the light, SCDOT has requested a letter from the city authorizing it us to move forward. So we didn't feel like that was a call the chief and I could make, and they requested a letter in action from council. So we brought it up to public safety, and ultimately it'll be up to council to make that decision.
I'd like to make a motion that we write a letter to SCDOT asking for this study, because I have sat at that light and I've watched people trying to cross the street from the sea cabins going across and really being stopped by cars.
I don't know if it's a study or the question is, are we going to make a motion to ask for this letter or not? Are we going to wait for a month and let everybody do their due diligence? So is that not the point? Ryan?
Yeah, that is the point. If we make a motion, basically it's moving forward to tell DOT to go ahead and move forward with it.
Correct.
Yeah. I just wanted, unless you've all sat there, I was bring the attention to bringing it forward so you're all were made aware of it. So you can go down there and look at it and just imagine what 41 seconds are like sitting at the left traffic light. If anybody wants to move forward with it, they can go ahead and make a motion. But I don't know if you'd want to without actually doing your due diligence first.
Would you like to hear from the chief?
I didn't make a motion. I'm going to withdraw it until everybody has a chance to.
Okay.
Can I make a comment?
Yes, please.
Because I've almost been hit by a car with my child crossing, so I feel your pain, Krista, crossing exactly where you were discussing with somebody turning left. So the exact scenario I faced, and I was quite vocal with the they were... I guess, but the point being, I do think that there's a safety issue there, and I don't know. I guess what I'm hearing is there's one proposed solution to it. Are there additional ways to resolve that? And I guess if we come back here in a month and we're debating do we do this or not, that's a very binary yes or no. Maybe the charge for public safety and our chief is to do a little due diligence with SCDOT and figure out is there anything else that can be done. All right, because the concern is noted that the traffic in the summer would be significantly impacted, or the assumption I'm hearing is there would be a significant traffic impact.
Would you ask chief maybe come forward and give us his opinion on what he sees there at that corner? Sorry, chief.
That's all right.
I think I'm asking about the vehicles.
You ask, I shall come. Good evening, members of council, Mr. Mayor. So this, I guess from citizens' comment, I missed it earlier, I apologize for my tardiness, but this came up when we were doing our community meetings with the police department, just getting to know our residents and sharing stats. And one of our residents just shared that it was what they felt to be an unsafe crosswalk. And so I did take a look at it, and I would agree with Councilman Moy. It is definitely a dangerous opportunity to walk across that thing when, even when it's red, you have the crosswalk, because people still turn left, and they've got the beach eyes on, they're not paying attention, and it just, I think it puts our residents at a vulnerability. And so we reached out to DOT to see what it would be, and they were very specific, I mean, 41 seconds exactly. And what would happen is when an individual hits the button for the crosswalk, the lights would cycle through as they normally do, and then everybody would get a red light, and all crosswalks would have a green cross to walk. The only thing I see with this that is still a concern of mine would be traffic that's coming from the 21st Avenue toward the connector. They don't have that light. They still have that yield to the right. I don't know what the solution for that would be, and I do understand that maybe there are some other ways we can look at how we can do that. To enforce the crosswalk, the vehicles still have, by law, they have to yield to the pedestrians that are in the crosswalk correctly. And I'd love to say we could put a police officer there all day long to do that, but as you all know, when the beach season picks up, there's a lot more traffic through there, and we could not put somebody there all day. Certainly, I think we could, as a police department, step up our enforcement activities in all crosswalks across the island. It was a topic that came up in every neighborhood meeting that we had. So, it's duly noted, and we will be doing that anyways. But that's kind of what we found when I looked into it.
Chief, while you're up there, I agree with our resident. I agree with Councilmember Moy. That lane is a nonstop lane. It's travel and yield. How about signage? Would that help?
We could certainly ask DOT if we could put some signage there. We just have to be cognizant of the fact that we have a lot of signs. And I think one of our employees put it, when you have a bunch of trees, you quit looking at the trees. And if we put too many signs, people quit looking at the signs. But I think we could look at maybe putting something in that area. And definitely, if we could bring more attention to the crosswalk and the safety of the crosswalk, we have the intent to do some videos prior to beach season picking up to address crosswalk safety, because our laws may be different than other states. And when our visitors are coming from other states, they may not understand that they have to stop at all these crosswalks. So we're going to try to put together a public service video that we start airing on all of our social media to try to educate the visitors as they're coming through the different laws, and the crosswalk was one of them. So maybe we'll try that as well as you continue to explore this opportunity.
And the public safety is well aware of the conditions down there, and whether we take this approach or another approach, we're trying to look at whether it's restriping the crosswalks or whether it's making it more apparent or whether it's lighting or whether whatever it is. It just, this is one of the requests that came through, and I just want everybody to be aware of, like I said, we start talking, I mean, we still have the condition where we have 21st Avenue, or folks coming off 21st Avenue still merging and going through there. And heck, I've tried to get the speed limit already changed down in that area with no avail to the SCDOT and some other crosswalks in the area, but we're still working towards it. It's just, I want everybody else to be aware that what potentially could happen if the light was closed for 41 seconds on Memorial Day. So, the backup that we could have.
That was DOT's number one concern when we talked about it, is that it is exactly 41 seconds that all traffic will stop, with the exception of the right turn from 21st or from Palm Lawn to IOP connected from 21st.
Like I said,
that's a concern, obviously.
Pardon?
That's a concern. That's why council would have to make that decision, and we recognize that could have an impact on just overall traffic in that intersection and backups.
Yes, sir.
None of these are individual issues. I mean, all the crosswalks, I'm stunned at the amount of people that ignore them and go through them. But the other discussion goes back to parking, and Ryan, you brought this up before, trying to direct more people to go straight and park there. So as we look at parking rates, as we look at whether we have paid parking on Palm Boulevard, what are all the ingredients to a safer community and directing people to go where we want them to go and obey the law? So I would just caution everyone. I can't understand the circumstance where 41 seconds of your life is more important than protecting a child crossing a street. So, at some point, you just do it and go, you can live with the consequences, because I don't want to live with the consequences of not doing it.
Councilmember Smith.
I would just suggest, as part of the information that you consider, is if the data is available for how frequently that gets pressed, that button gets pressed, it may not be that frequent.
I actually asked that very question, and he laughed at me and said no. He said, as you can imagine, in the beach season, it's much higher, but they don't have a mechanism in place on those poles to actually track the number of times that they're hit. I was surprised. I thought they would.
Like a
I thought so as well.
And we've discussed, I mean, the traffic pattern needs to be... It needs to be improved down there, and we've sort of talked about this, and I mean, this is for another discussion, but that's why I brought it up, is, I mean, the way the traffic pattern needs to go to improve the flow of traffic down there would definitely need to be worked on within the city, within the police department, with the state as well. So.
Okay. Thanks, Chief.
You're welcome, sir.
Thanks, Chief.
And also thank you, Chris, as it's been heard. Ryan?
Yes. Bring more that thing. When that's here. Surplus. We have discussion. Okay, yep. H, update on the public safety building relocation process. We actually had discussed this earlier a little bit. Basically, we're moving forward. Both departments, fire and police, are moving into the trailers as we speak, basically. And they'll be operating out of those trailers for the next year. We talked about the consideration of the pyrotechnics. The fire department gave their report, police department gave their report, which is available, and our next meeting date is March 2nd at 9 a.m.
Yes, sir, any questions?
You have a question for the chairman of public safety. Item one, isn't that an action item that would, you know, shouldn't we make a motion and vote on that, which is the consideration of exemption of the noise ordinance? Join the veterans and first responders blessing ceremony.
Okay.
Yes.
Desiree, do we have some information? Is this is for the 21 versus the 3-gun?
So yes, yep. We've Pastor Phil requested an exemption from the noise ordinance. It would be 3 officers shooting 7 times.
3 officers shooting 7
blanks.
Times.
Blanks. Yes.
Blanks.
For the noise. I'm
okay.
Sure there's another.
I hear a motion for that.
I'll make a motion to approve.
Second.
Discussion. They did an event for the first time this past year. It was for all of our veterans, for all of our public safety personnel. It was a very nice event, and I think it's something that, you know, it's not just the church, but all the local public safety personnel. I think it was a cool thing. I was kind of worried about a 21-gun salute, but... 3 guns.
7 shots.
Okay, any other discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any nays? Unanimous.
This would be far less than the cannons that went off earlier this week. On Sullivan's
Island. Sullivan's Island, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Ryan, is that?
That's it. That was anyway.
Okay. Moving on, Public Works.
Public Works had a regular meeting on February 6th at 5 o'clock. Everyone was in attendance. New business, we had consideration of approval of a relocation of city-owned drainage easement at 2305 Waterway Boulevard. The owner was there. A lot of conversation. It was approved unanimously with some caveats that we would need to approve the conceptual design, let it come back. City would hire an engineer. Property owner would pay for the cost of relocation, and the city would review the abandonment of the old easement before granting the new easement. Desiree, anything to add there?
No, got it.
We have departmental reports. Our Department of Works folks just continue to knock the lights out, in my opinion, just with the ongoing drainage assessments, improvements, maintenance, landscaping, cleaning efforts on the connector and public right-of-ways and city parks, just really doing a nice job. So that's telling you thank you. And Robert, for everything you guys are doing for the city there. Old business updates on phase 3 drainage. Permitting still happening here. Timeline for phase 3 drainage looks like it's going to be getting permits by the end of this year. hopefully we'd be ready to go into construction for the winter for the phase three drainage. And then again, those are the three outfalls at 41st, 36th, and 30th, just to refresh your memories. We had an update on drainage project at Ocean Boulevard between 1st and 3rd, had a construction meeting, I guess last week now.
Correct.
Around that, so that's in process. We already talked about renewing the beach garbage collection contract and voted on that. We had a discussion and review of the Public Works Fiscal 21 capital expenditures. And our next meeting is March 5th at 8 a.m.
Thank you for your report. Any questions? Hearing none, moving on. Recreation.
The Recreation Committee met on February 10th. We started with citizens' comments, and Susan Scavini, the Wild Dunes swim team president, spoke. She covered a lot of the same ground and did a great job, as she did earlier, very eloquently, so no need to go into those details and repeat them. We then discussed the Citizens Advisory Board for considering a swimming pool at the recreation center and helping to gather community input on that. Five people at that point had applied, but that number has since increased to 13. And the deadline for applying to be on the Citizen Advisory Board is, I believe, on Friday. And we also, Councilmember Moy had a good conversation with the chairman of the Planning Commission, who has offered to help us with pool research and discussed that the Planning Commission is like the R&D wing of the city, and so we will definitely be glad to look, get their wisdom and assistance in digging into those details. Let's see, our director gave a report on all things recreation, and that included a review of our budget capital expenditures. We discussed the, is it Rec Track or Rev Track?
Rec Track.
We discussed expanding that software package that we currently use to allow for online registration for activities, which is something that the community has expressed an interest in for a variety of reasons. We're going to, the price tag on that was a little higher than we would like, so we're asking for more examination and talking to other vendors about getting that cost down. But we are very interested in pursuing that, if not in this fiscal year, in fiscal year 22. And our Director Page also brought to us a really cool potential plan for having a brick path built at the rec center that would allow citizens to purchase engraved bricks, similar to what was done at Front Beach when funds were raised for improvements there. And so we're looking at exploring that. And we discussed the possibility of having a fitness court that sounds intriguing. It's like something of an outdoor fitness equipment that it's installed nationally, and we have the potential for grant funding, but it just is a new idea that we haven't been able to really explore, so we are tabling that for the current, our recommendations for the current fiscal year. And I think that's about it. We are planning to meet again on March 2nd at 5 p.m.
Good report. Any questions for Rick? Yes, sir.
Yes, just wanted to point out under item two of the Recreation Committee that that Council Member Spreeman made a motion to approve the minutes, not being a member of that committee. I'm pretty sure I wasn't there to do that.
Oh.
We'll get that corrected.
Thank you.
Good eyes.
In the spirit, you were there. Yeah. Obviously.
We thought we heard you.
Okay, moving on to personnel.
That's me. All right, the Personnel Committee met on Wednesday, February 12th at 9 a.m. in the CEO conference room. All members and appropriate staff were present. After approval of the previous meeting minutes, we did have one citizen provide comments, Elizabeth Campson. essentially weighed in on budget issues and just expressed her desire for the city to continue to be just very jurisprudent in the way that we look at budget increases. We moved on to consideration of applications for the vacancy of the Planning Commission and got some updates from the city administrator that there were a few outstanding folks we wanted to connect with who had previously applied. And so on our next meeting in March, we will identify the final candidates who will be invited to interview, and we'll try to schedule those interviews in March so that by our March council meeting, we're able to make a recommendation to this body as to who we will take. We took a look at the capital expenditures, nothing really major to report there. We'll obviously get into that in budget workshops. We did get into some discussions around wages, first starting with the cost of living adjustment for employees. We had some great discussion about what that would mean and why we would do it, and ultimately we decided before we get into that discussion, it's more important that we understand how competitive our salaries are. We haven't done a really comprehensive or detailed study as to how competitive our wages are. And so we're looking into that, and we'll likely make a recommendation to this body at the next council meeting. So we're putting off cost of living discussions before we to that. That wasn't clear. We also looked at establishing a longevity increase adjustment. Essentially, the way that our ordinance are structured, an employee reaches the maximum pay of their pay range, they're no longer eligible for any sort of increase. And this this adjustment would enable the city to make a one-time payment for employees who perform at an exceptional level. We don't have the specifics on that. The city administrator was going to further refine the recommendation to the personnel committee so that we can bring something a little bit more concrete and specific, but the committee did give unanimous support without taking any votes that we wanted this to be something that we consider. Our next meeting is going to be on Tuesday, March the 3rd at 9 a.m. And so in my report.
Good report. Any questions for personnel? Hearing none, moving on. Real property.
Thank you. The real property committee met 5 o'clock Thursday, February 13th. All members are present, as well as administration. Under citizens' comments, Michael Finn of Tidal Lake Water Sports spoke about the recent community meeting that we had at the about the marina. At that time, the motion was made to reorder the agenda to talk about the Palms Hotel parking agreement, which we've discussed earlier. We are extending the Palms parking hotel agreement for using the municipal lot. Right now, the agreement is at $10 for overnight parking, and that agreement can be changed if we move forward and make changes to our parking rates in the lot as well. Under old business, we had update on the public safety rehabilitation project and consideration of approval of third phase of the contract for construction, which we voted on earlier, just to brief it, but we did have Chris Burrell of Trident Construction and Artie McCullough of Design Build came before the committee and came before Ways and Means and talked about the public safety rehabilitation project. We had an update on the marina lease proposal. The administrator reported that city's working with the restaurateurs, owners, and while they're going through their due diligence period and currently discussing a parking plan with the tenants down there. There is an update on the beach nourishment permit modification. The administrator reported that for breach inlet, the city requested a modification to our 2018 renourishment permit to allow for dune restoration along with a small section of breach inlet. That permit is out for public comment right now through OCRM, and the modification permission from OCRM to scrape roughly 6,000 cubic yards of the sand from the accreted shoals a breach inlet and to form a dunes. Those properties right now have no protection and has been eroding significantly for the past few months, and would restore that dune along roughly 1,900 linear feet of shoreline. This project is being coordinated with the property owners, and the city is helping to facilitate the permit, as the property owners are actually paying for all construction costs and for the beach scraping. As a mother notes, the property owners are going to facilitate the permit. What's interesting, this is a great example of a private-public collaboration. Basically, the property owners had every right to individually go out and seek permits independently, get their own contractors independently. So we could have been at a point where we had a number of individual property owners going out and getting permits through OCIRM, getting their own contractors to go through and scrape sand and move it forward. They had every right to do that. I believe working with the city, it kind of folds it all into one umbrella. They can work underneath all we need to do is modify our permit and let them work under our permit at no cost to us. So basically we have one contractor working under one permit to get the project done and over with without having disturbance of that beach area over a long period of time. The update on permitting for the marina docks, and the docks currently leased to Tidal Wave. Basically, we're in the same position we are right now. We're still waiting on OCR. I mean, we got the OCR permit. We're waiting on Army Corps of Engineers to move forward with theirs. We didn't have any public comment from OCRM. We've had some geotechnical work that was done at the marina, so that hopefully that information will be available in about another week and be sent forward to ATM so we can actually put together a plan and put bids out in the summer to start construction this fall, maybe sooner, based on the current condition of what's going on down at the marina right now. Discussion of the future use of the dock currently leased by Tidal Wave. There wasn't much discussion on that, basically because we're still waiting on the online comment section hadn't closed yet, so now that is closed and the staff is now going through all those comments and putting some information together that we'll talk about at our next meeting. Under new business, we talked about the discussion of landscaping in the front beach area in front of the bathrooms, in front of the public restrooms. We did have discussion of a tide gauge and water level monitoring system. It's going to be pretty interesting. The city is part of a pilot program in collaboration with the South Carolina Beach Advocates and other communities. And basically, we'll be installing a tide gauge, we think, at the marina. And basically, it'll give us real-time water level data and possibly improve the tide forecasting. So it was really low cost to the city, but it's a collaborative effort throughout Charleston. And give us to be able to look at the tides throughout the city.
NOAA.
So currently there are two tide gauges in the whole Charleston Harbor. They're NOAA gauges. They're very expensive. So these will complement the data that we currently receive from NOAA.
Cool. And I like the real-time data, because I've talked about trying to get real-time data at the intersection. But we're still not there yet.
41 seconds.
Yes. So we're still working on that project. We had the review of our front beach, our beach maintenance, and our marina fiscal 21 capital expenditures, which we will continuously discuss and throughout our budget process. We are discussing the improvements of Waterway Boulevard sidewalk. I know it's been a problem. It's been out there. It's been an issue for some time. We are working with the county to try to get grant funding to improve that. The administrator in Public Works and the staff is going through and identifying those areas that are of big problems and marking those areas and just making and trying to address those concerns as they arise, knowing that hopefully we'll be able to get some funding from the county to go through and improve that waterway. Yes, ma'am?
Since then, we have also hired a contractor to go in and mill.
Yes, yep, grind, yep.
Grind, that's the word. Grind some of those areas to reduce the tripping hazards that are currently there. So that, you know, that's going to be a step forward. But yeah, we'll continue to pursue additional funding from the county to do a complete overhaul.
That's it. And the Real Property Committee will be next meeting will be held March 4th at 5.
Great report. Any questions? Real Property.
I just had a suggestion,
yes, ma'am.
Maybe to consider, now that we have cameras down at Breach Inlet, if there's some possibility that you could use that to track the way the sand shifts in that area, and well, maybe from a scientific standpoint,
well, we
it
have,
might be helpful.
Well, we do have. We have our beach monitoring program that we have going on, and they regularly go through and measure those ideas. But I mean, what you're saying, it would be neat to see it. I don't know how scientific it would be, just because it'd be visual. Mm-hmm. But we do have a contract with the engineers to monitor the beach area.
Okay.
And that the camera itself is really can be focused on water. The water area to keep people out of water. But I thought about that earlier.
Good question. Anyone else? Good report. Thank you very much. Reports from city officers, boards, commissions. The first one up is accommodations tax advisory. We've already tackled several things as for advertising and also for 2,200 for the bags on the recycle. Board of Zoning Appeals, minutes are attached. Planning Commission, the minutes are attached. Reports from special joint committees, none. Petitions received, referred, disposed of, none. Bills already in possession, none. And introduction of new bills, resolutions, proclamations. I'm really amazed that we hadn't got this, but it's interesting. First reading by title only, ordinance 2020-01, an ordinance that makes it unlawful to flee from a public safety officer under certain conditions.
Motion to approve.
Any discussion?
No discussion on first reading.
No discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, moving on. Resolution 2020, a resolution authorizing the consumption of beer and wine at the Front Beach Fest on March the 7th from 2 to 7 p.m. Do I hear a motion?
Motion to approve.
Second.
Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Miscellaneous, we've already taken care of. Number 11, executive session. In accordance with section 30-4-70A2, discussion of negotiations incident to proposed contractual arrangements related to the marina restaurant lease. Do I hear a motion to go into executive session?
Motion to go into executive session.
Second. Okay. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay, everyone, thank you all for welcome to stay up.
Yes.
You ready? You're on.
Tell me when you're ready. Okay, we are coming out of executive session, and it is 8:06. No decisions have been made or were made, and now, is there any motions on the table?
I'd like to make a motion to extend the due diligence period for 30 days.
Exclusive.
Is that what it is? I'll second.
Exclusive.
Exclusive negotiations with IOP families.
And I'll exclusively second it.
Okay. It sounds so exclusive.
And the date is when?
Effective March 10th.
March 10th.
March 10th.
Correct.
That is your motion. We have a second, right?
Yep.
Any discussion? Hearing none? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any nays? Ryan?
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Ryan.
All in favor?
Aye. Ryan, I need to ask you something.
Desiree, just a sign.